Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number to join us on a Friday here in New York City. The sun is out. The sun is out. We have sun. It actually exists. We can see. There's actual daylight, not clouds, not rain, not misery. There is sun. There is baseball at Citi Field today. I mean, can we just now move forward and really call it spring? Can we just finally do that, please?
The Yankees win. The Yankees win.
That's not quite.
Soto better than Aaron Judge already. He's carrying the team, putting the team on his back, yo.
You gotta admit, stars step up, and that's exactly what he
made. Big time plays in big time moments.
But it's not real. But that's like a real thing. Like, all kidding aside, a play like that does give you the vibe of this guy's special. Like, it's he's maligned for his defense. Right. Oh, he's not really a good defender. Oh, you're gonna really feel his impact in the defense. Like, anything that you want to find negative about Juan Soto coming to the Yankees, that's all you heard from people, was that you got weaker in the outfield defensively, and then all he does in the biggest moment is make the biggest play as the game looked like it was going to be, here we go again, heartbreak in Houston. They're going to do something in the ninth inning like they always do and send you home with an L. And he's like, oh, not what I'm here.
Yeah,
and
I thought it was Bo Jackson throwing that one. I thought it was Bo Jackson throwing that thing.
Right? Like, he makes a great play. And that goes back to, we get it, Bart, you 11 years pro. Like, you know it. You just see it. There's certain people that just have the glow.
The it factor.
Juan Soto has the glow. That's it. He just has that.
And finally, they have two guys that have the glow. So it's not so much pressure on Aaron
Good
Judge.
Point.
If Aaron Judge goes down, Stanton was supposed to be the glow, right? It was supposed to be like, because it's hard to rely on just one person with the glow.
Yep.
You need somebody that can sometimes, you know, be the guy that steps up. And, you know, he points to the muscle. You see, you know, because we know that you can't run on Aaron Judge, but now hopefully people will see that you can't run on him. You know, because people think, hey, well, he's a, you know, the scouting report says that he's a guy that's, the want-to meter to be great, right? He has all the intangibles on the offensive side of the ball. He's a special athlete, special player. But, you know, being a great defensive player is about wanting to put in extra time, extra work. And, you know, maybe because Judge is such a great, outfielder out there who he's replacing and moving him to center, maybe, you know, some of that's rubbing off. I mean, I know he was on a star-studded team with Machado, Tatis, you know, all those guys out there. So nobody wants to be outshined. When you think you're him, you're trying to prove that you're him, and he's playing for a contract as well. So far, so good. I can only imagine what the narrative would be. The sky would be falling, probably be overcast today, if the Yankees would have found a way to lose that game. It was here we go again, can't finish, you know. But the narrative changed. You know, they were down, then they, you know, went ahead, and typically it was what we've become accustomed to is the Astros having their moment.
Yep, that's what it felt like.
Maybe because they fired the only black manager that won them a championship, and maybe that's like the chickens come home to roost.
Really. Really?
Hashtag sign Dusty back.
Or maybe is it just the fact that, again, you just – star players, great players make great plays. And he stepped up. Judge called it a classic – his classic Yankee moment.
You already?
Know, that kind of a play.
Hold on.
I know. It's game – what he meant was in his debut.
Okay.
Right? In a guy – like a much heralded – what is he? Barely 25 years old. A much heralded superstar in the sport. Puts on the pinstripes. And in his very first game – does the spectacular, and that so that's what he meant by a classic.
Okay,
Yankee
I about
moment.
To say, hold up, man.
No, that's no.
We,
I, that's
we,
what
we
he
had
meant.
Him in the postseason, baby. We don't count these in the regular season.
Well, no, but you'd like to see in the first appearance that he shows you something, right? Everybody wants that you know, that first impression is the one that sticks with you, and to make a game saving play, and then Clay Holmes then shuts it down, and you walk out of the building with a win. You know, you want to feel that. You want to celebrate that, and he did. I love the fact, too, that Soto showed you a little bravado, too, right?
A little
pumping
emotion,
his chest.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell he was fired up about that, too. He and Judge go face-to-face and kind of get fired up.
You know who that affects
Pretty
more
cool.
than anybody?
Who?
Stan. Because Stan kind of comes off as like a just chill professional. You know how A-Rod used to always seem like, come on, A-Rod, show us something, man. It's just like, no, I don't do all that. I'm A-Rod. I'm too cool for school.
I don't know if – no, Jeter was more like that. A-Rod was a guy that carried on a little bit. Jeter was the one that was pretty stoic, I think the word you're looking for.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, flip-flop it then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm with you.
I want to see Stanton come out of his shell and, like, really enjoy the season. I don't think he's enjoyed his time here, man, because there's been so much pressure, criticism. Even when he's at time has carried the Yankees, nobody ever gives him credit for anything because he could never live up to what they thought he was going to be, which was an MVP caliber player. I think when they got Stanton, they thought they were getting Bryce Harper, and how Bryce Harper has gone over to the Phillies and remained a superstar. Right, and just Giancarlo just hasn't been that. So maybe because now he can be the forgotten one, he can have more moments. But it feels good to have that young. Everybody needs that young Thundercat, man. It just injects energy to anybody. Like you say, the Yankees is an older team, and you put like some loose cannon, but a good player. Some days he may not do some of the fundamental stuff, but like he's so talented that he inspires you, and he just brings electricity and energy to that clubhouse.
It's something they definitely, you definitely wanted to see out of the gate. Like right
more
away,
athletic.
You wanted to see the
they had to get more athletic. We knew last year they just had to get more athletic, man.
Well, listen, it wasn't like they mashed the ball
right
around the field, right? This wasn't one of these, typical Yankee, they hit four home runs. And, it was a Cabrera that hit the home run and it tied it. But aside from that, it wasn't really like, just the bombers. This was a little bit different. And it was a lot of resiliency going down 4-0. Cortes didn't have a great start to this thing, but it's just again the Yankees showed just something in the first game. There's still such a long way to go, but it was great to see out of the gate. Now today it's the Mets' turn, Bart. And today the Yankees have another one. This is Carlos Rodon, so here we go again. When it comes to
most pressure.
Today though for the Mets they had to wait a day, and Jose Quintana's gets the start against the Brewers. And it's a nice afternoon at Citi Field, and the Mets get underway. We're going to get Gelbsy on here in just a minute. You're a good buddy from SNY.
We got Steve Gizelbs?
Yeah.
My boy coming on, son.
He's coming on in just a few minutes, and we'll get a little bit deeper into the Mets and what to expect. But just right now, I asked this yesterday about the Yankees, but what are the fair expectations for the Mets this season when you consider
87,
everything that they have done?
87-88, sneak into the wild card. That's all we can ask for, son.
I didn't ask you what you ask for. I asked you what to expect.
I'm expecting 87.
Much different question.
Hey, JT Martinez gives him that bat for Pete Alonso, man. So I'm saying 87, sneak in to the wild card. Maybe make a move by the trade deadline once you see this team is better than what it was, because I think it's going to over deliver because they have low expectations. I mean, they don't. But the people do. Is that not realistic? 87 wins?
I think 87. Like Pecota has them between 83 and 78.
Okay, so we talking
you're looking at that like 83-ish has been
okay. So I put four on top because Diaz gonna go ahead and shut him down. What's wrong with that? A guy can't dream for four more wins.
I didn't say you couldn't dream. I didn't say you couldn't.
Can dreams become reality?
I didn't ask you to dream, though. I asked you.
I'll tell you what. When we get Gelbs on, I'm gonna scare him into agreeing with me.
All right. Well, he's here right now. All right.
Oh, Gelbsy.
Yes. See. All right. So Pecota has him at 83. Baseball Reference has 82. So we're showing you right now what it looks like as far as projections go for the season. Everybody knows Steve Gelbs.
Man, these are my two Captain Kirks, man. I've never been on with my two Captain Kirks at the same time, son.
He deals with Bart Scott all football season. He knows where I'm coming from.
This is a big, big moment. Big moment.
I hope we record this.
I thought Bart had banned me from the show when he was on because he has to deal with me every Sunday.
You my boy. We dial like both.
He does not have full veto power, as you know, Gelbsy. I mean, first of all, you heard him 2 minutes ago when he said, Gelbs is coming on. He's coming. Like, it just shows you how involved he is in the production of the show before him, right?
So, Gelbs knows about how I show up for production meeting for our Sunday show.
Well, yeah.
Hey, the only thing that matters to Bart on production meeting Sundays is that we get the right condiments in place for the lunch.
Speaking of which, hang on. Now, Galbi, I need you to help me out.
Go there.
When you to the like baseball, when you
no,
go
don't
to
say
a,
that.
You go
see,
to a ball game.
Leading,
right?
Leading the witness.
All I said the other day was that you look forward to, because these days now everything's so bougie. They've got all these different menus and stuff. But come on, give me a dog, give me a beer. Let me sit down. Let me watch the game. Like, I don't need sushi. I don't need brie. I don't need like some type of concoction that they put in a wrap. No, thank you. Right? I just give me the.
Yeah,
so Bart. So I said to Bart, like, what do you like to put on the dog? And he's like, well, you know, if you're going to do it right, you got to go dip it into barbecue sauce. Then you put it on the bun. Then you do it. And I looked at him like, you know how many napkins? Like, you're going to be a mess next to me. I don't want that. Can you explain to me that if you're trying to get barbecue sauce, your hot dog dipped in barbecue sauce, put on a bun at Citi Field today, you might get punched in the face.
I might get punched in the face. Nobody's going to touch Bart, though. He lives in a different world. You know what I mean? but I will say this. I expect absolutely nothing less than what you just said. Given the way that this guy brings in his condiments, the fact that he puts on barbecue sauce is the least surprising thing that I've ever heard in my life on a hot dog.
But Gelbsy, have you ever like barbecued at home and put a dog there and dipped it in some barbecue sauce and put it on a bun?
You can do it. Okay,
no, I'm asking.
Not one time. Never.
See?
Never. Not
Thank
one
you.
Time in my
oh
life.
Oh my God, man. I gotta bring you and Alan to the dark side.
See, this
you
is
missing
somehow
out
we're
on
not
life.
Cultured because it's Steve Gelbs, give me your perfect ballpark hot dog setup. What do you got? What's on it? How do you eat it? Go.
My perfect ballpark setup, you get some mustard.
Yep.
I actually used to be, crazy enough, I used to be a hot dog with mustard and ketchup guy.
Yes.
I've removed the ketchup.
Wow.
I go
Smart.
Mustard and I go some relish. Or like, you know, if you get some of those really nice caramelized onions.
Love that.
That's what I go with.
Love that. See?
Steve, what you just
Delicious.
Did was taking out the jelly in the PBJ. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, it's not.
Like ketchup and mustard go together like, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
I don't disagree, but barbecue sauce has no business. No business.
I'm telling you, I'm talking about in the comforts of your home. Like we have a barbecue. We have a barbecue tray.
Week one, you bring them in this year. Week one,
that's it.
All right, you bring them in.
Number one,
Bart has to bring hot dogs dipped in barbecue sauce, and Gelbs, you'll try it. Wear a white shirt, maybe cream colored sport coat.
Me and Willie are going to barbecue him outside of right across from the fire station.
Now if Willie Colon is barbecuing, I'm coming for that. Like, I would come for that
because you think
I
about it.
You,
and Alan's not even talking about going to a station and getting a hot dog. He's talking about getting some out of that tuberculosis juice. You know what I'm saying? The boil ones that the dude walking by. No,
yeah,
I don't want no.
Right, that's the best way to do it.
Thank you,
the ballpark dog.
Steve, you're going to get a virus.
Like, baseball expert just said
they just reheat up the juice. They never pour the juice out. They just reheat it and throw new hot dogs in it, man.
Yeah, that's what makes the hot dogs have that special ballpark taste.
You noticed too, by the way, Gelbs, when he said like
you got a tapeworm right now, Gelbs. You don't even know.
When he said that mustard and ketchup go together like, and then he paused, I was thinking he would probably say like Bart and Han, but he didn't. So I don't know how to feel about that either. So why don't we, with just a few minutes to go, because this man, by the way, Bart, does have to, you know, work a game today.
Hey, nobody works the crowd and works the mic like Gelbsy, man.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's one of the best in the business. That's why I love him.
He's right, Alan. He's right.
I mean, and you talk about a guy that's able to beat his own face because we don't get makeup artists. Yeah, we don't get makeup artists. So, you know, when he's glowing on set, that's all him. You know what I'm saying? He should start doing tutorials on how men supposed to put makeup on.
I understand that.
Me, I look embalmed. I don't know my color.
Did not like the way you phrased that. So instead of this awkwardness.
I'm sorry. No Diddy. My bad.
Francisco Alvarez is probably a big part of the excitement of this coming season. You know, 22 years old, a catcher, youngest catcher they've had, start opening day. What are the expectations for him before we even get into the team? Like, is like a lot of the attention, the focus on this is the face of the future of this team?
Yeah, I don't think nearly enough of the focus is on it, to be honest with you. I love this kid. I love what I saw last year. You know, certainly the results on the field and the home runs were great, the way he handled the pitching staff behind the dish. But the maturity for a kid that young. And the way that the veterans on the team, the coaches raved about him, you know, just it told me he's a little different. And I think what you're going to see with Alvarez this year is a guy that starts to bud into a big-time superstar in this league. I think he is going to eventually be the face of this franchise. And, you know, maybe I don't want to – listen, I don't want to go too far down the road, but he's got that leadership, you know, captain-type attitude and feel to him. But I think he's going to take the next step. I think he's going to be more consistent offensively. He had a lot of peaks and valleys last year. And I think you're going to see him really take ownership of this pitching staff in a way that he started to do last year. So for me, when you talk about the ceiling of the Mets this year, if he can really take that next step and level up a little bit, raises what this team can do. And I do think that he will take that step.
Who's going to provide the protection for Pete Alonso on his lineup? And how important of a year is this for him? Because he finds himself exactly where Judge found himself, 29 years old without a long-term contract, you know, heading to 30.
Yeah, it's incredibly important, obviously, and I think that's why he was probably the most excited when they brought in J.D. Martinez. And we actually spoke to Steve Cohen about 20 minutes ago, and he mentioned that a few times, that Pete had really been banging the drum to get somebody to hit behind him. And so, you know, I think, listen, Pete Alonso has done some remarkable things over the years with this franchise, but – you know, he is somebody that at times pitchers have been able to pitch around. And when J.D. Martinez gets up here and the assumption is that he'll bat behind Pete, you're just not going to be able to do that anymore. And so now I think the power is going to be there with Pete no matter what. But you saw the average really dip last year, and he's never really been that guy that hits in the low 200s. What's made Pete Alonso truly elite is that he's mixed the power with a, you know, 260-ish batting average. And so – you know, if he can get back up to that, obviously beneficial for the Mets, but for him as well. This is a showcase year. This is his year to really, you know, get that big contract, which, you know, he will from somewhere, and I still think there's a good chance it'll be here. But J.D. and protecting him is gonna make a huge difference for Pete Alonso this season.
SNY Steve Gelb's joining us right now on the show. And an hour from now, the Mets season will get underway after being postponed from yesterday, the original start date for them. This was the open date. They took it. And so it's a much nicer day out there on the field at Citi Field for this. And so, all right, so Gelby, let's just, you know, you saw the Pecota stuff. You saw the baseball reference stuff when it comes to projections. They're only projections, but still, you know, last year had a lot of different feel going into the season with the pitching staff they had, the money they spent, and obviously everything just fell flat. This year it feels like, is rebuild a fair word to use here or not?
I don't think so. I don't think this is a full teardown rebuild. I think they are definitely trying to compete and definitely trying to make the playoffs. And again, you know, a move like J.D. Martinez reinforces that. And I think it reinforced it to the room, because it's one thing to say to Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso, hey guys, you know, we made all these moves at the deadline. We brought in a lot of young players into the system, but we're still trying to win. And it's another thing to show it. And by bringing in Martinez, I think that gave new life to the fan base, and it gave some extra life to that room. But beyond that, I think you can really, if you look at it, you can see exactly what David Stearns is trying to do and how he's trying to win. You know, this is a big ballpark in Citi Field. They historically have not had a great defensive team. He brought in a lot of defensive, some of them studs, to play. Harrison Bader comes to mind to man center field. And while it's not headlined by, you know, your Scherzers and DeGroms and Verlanders, just know how to pitch and that can get soft contact. And they get guys to put the ball in play, which, again, plays up in a ballpark like Citi Field. So I think there is a decent chance that this is a team that will be in the playoffs at the end of the year. I don't think they're going to compete for the division, but I think that they – can absolutely compete for the wild card. But if they don't, and this is really the key, if they don't, they have set themselves up in a way where there's a lot of flexibility at the deadline to really reinforce the system and bring in pieces that will be here for that next window of competition, which will not be a window far down the road. This is a team that wants to make the playoffs this year, but then again next year wants to, I don't want to say go all in, but pretty darn close.
I see. I told you, hanging around Allen, you know, we share a brain, and hanging around Gilsey, I share a brain as well. So that's why I echoed those same sentiments before you got in. You talk about breathing life back into the organization. How excited are the team in the clubhouse to have Edwin Diaz back?
It's hard to put into words. You know, I asked Carlos Mendoza before the game today what he was most looking forward to in his first opening day as a manager, and he said the trumpets. He said because that's going to be something special when he comes back out, and hopefully the Mets are in a position where you'll see the trumpets and hear the trumpets today. That loss last year was obviously known at the time how big it would be, but what people didn't quite understand is when you take that personality out of the room as well, it has an impact. You know, Edwin Diaz isn't just a great pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the game. He's a great person. He's a leader in that clubhouse, and it just started everything off on the wrong foot last year. There was a lot of wind taken out of the sails, and so by the same token, I think you have that opposite effect this year where, you know, he's back, and we saw in spring training his first outing where he struck out the side and they were playing the trumpets down in Port St. Louis. I can only imagine what his first appearance at Citi Field is going to be like this year. I think it's hard to really put into words what an addition that will be and why, again, I think that they can compete for the playoffs, because I think there are going to be wins in there that they didn't get last year strictly because Diaz is back in the back end of the pen.
Yeah,
can you do me a favor, Gilbsy? Can you buy me a trumpet for Allen to play on the air like later this week? Can you buy one from a shot? Thanks.
I got to admit, it's
100%.
It's a vibe. I will say that. It's definitely a vibe. And you could tell, like, when that thing starts in, the building just gets – it picks up. There's a mood about it. It's definitely a vibe. I just don't need
–
favor.
Both of you, you know it, right? Like, Alan, you're at the Garden all the time, and you know the feel and what a crowd can do. And, Bart, you know, you've been in huge games where you get that crowd boost. And that was missing. That was a no piece last year, and it was such a special part of two seasons ago. So, and they've got more things planned. By the way, it's not just going to be the trumpets this year. They're doing some things with LED lighting, I've heard. So it's going to be a whole spectacle.
Wow,
when he comes in.
Man, he's turning this thing into a park. Just do me one favor. I don't recall off the top of my head who the director is at SNY for these games, but just to save me the angst when the trumpets begin. Let's not cut. Like, don't go like, all right, give me Cod 2. I do not need to see Mr. Met Goofy dancing around. Like, it just takes the whole vibe down. This is supposed to be a triumphant moment. And then I see this big baseball head smiling and bouncing around. Just tell him, let's not cut
to Mr.
Met right now.
That's for the kids, man.
Let's keep this thing as real and rugged as we can. This is supposed to be triumphant, not cartoonish. That's the only thing I ask you to do for me, Gelsey. Can you do that?
Alan, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text you John DeMarco's number.
I'm going to talk to
him. Why don't you just give him a ring? He's got nothing going on right now. Just give him a ring and let him know.
Just like I text the guys that do the Islander games on MSG, and like I text them mid-game, like, hey, do that. And they're just like, I'm a little busy. Like, yeah, you're right. All right, fair point. This is what we do. When we stop covering things and become, you know, just fans watching, we completely forget that these people are working.
You want to ask Gelsey a Jets question?
Well, I was going to say, we can't let him go without asking an off-season Jets question. So I think the fair one would be assess what Joe Douglas has done so far. And, you know, what do you see out of some of the work he's done before we even get to the draft with this team? Does it change any outlook you might have for the Jets going forward?
I mean, I think so. You know, Bart, I assume you think so as well. Like, if you could have drawn up what I wanted them to do this offseason, this is pretty much it right now. Obviously, these guys come with injury concerns. And as we know, with the Jets, generally those things don't work out, but I can't go into the season assuming that it won't work out. I think that they've targeted the right players. And for me, the biggest thing that this offseason so far has done is it allows them flexibility in the draft. They don't need to be locked in to taking an offensive lineman with that number 10 pick. They can take a number of different positions. They can trade back. It gives them so many different avenues. For me, and Bart knows this a lot, like, still go out and get three offensive linemen in the draft if you can. You know, just bulk that up, because if things go the wrong way, we see how they can go the wrong way in a bad way quickly. But it's hard for me to be anything but pleased with what they've done so far this offseason. I think it's been kind of a home run so far.
Yeah, Gelb's and the guys deserve a note. Gelb's and the crew last year deserve a Nobel Peace Prize for the work we did dealing with what we had to work with. Talk about making chicken salad out of chicken. I just want to see a playoff game.
I don't agree with you there, Bart.
Well, the tougher part was the fact that you guys had so many primetime games.
Right.
You poor slobs were on till 1 a.m. going, oh, well, you know, Zach Wilson, I mean.
Willie had to be up for the Carton Show the next morning at like 4 a.m.
Right. He basically slept on a cot in the room. That's he never went home.
He had to go to work again. And so, Bart, how about this, though, Gelbsy? Bart sends me a text. Look, because we just had a West Coast game where we did I was in studio for this one. And so we're on till almost 1 o'clock in the morning on these West Coast games. And Bart sends me a text about it's sleepy time or something like that, like letting me know he's going to bed just as I'm about to start working. Because I used to just send him messages all the time. Every time you guys had another Monday night game, another Sunday night game, and I'm like,
Thursday
I'm going to bed,
night.
Bart. See you in the morning.
Hey, get ready for it again, Bart. Have a funny happen again.
That's it.
They can't flex too many.
Groundhog Day. All right, I know you got to work.
Real quick, because I got to run, but quick, I was hoping that when you said you had to ask me one more thing, Alan, you would, be a big man and ask me about the Rangers. You know, you'd ask me about the inevitability of a cup run here. Okay?
I know you're an Islanders guy, but
I thought you were going to go.
I know, first of all, when baseball season begins, I turn to Buster Olney, and then I turn to you. That's where I go. I don't really turn to too many people. So I hope to have you on when the games actually matter in April. And then you can crow and talk all about how great things are going to be with your Rangers. I mean, Carolina's pretty good. You got some good teams. I don't know. It might be too early for you to start talking about your Rangers.
What about the Red Wings?
They better not be on
a collision course, them Red Wings.
There we go.
It might happen, Bart.
And I will be in the garden if that happens with a Gordie Howe jersey on and the old school Jason Voorhees mask.
We might have to all go. Bart wearing his Steve Eiserman jersey.
I'm wearing Gordie Howe. I'm going Gordie Howe.
Oh, you're going Gordie Howe. Okay.
I'm going Gordie Howe. We might have to have a night.
We might have to do it.
Gotta make it happen.
Only if we go to strip club after.
Of course you will.
They got the best wings.
Of course.
Have a great one. Opening day. All the best. Steve Gelb, SNY. You'll see him just momentarily as they'll begin. Like, literally.
Another man with great hair. With great hair, too.
Is the pregame show just about to begin? He's probably got to do a report. We're, holding him up. But that's why he's our friend. Yeah, he's our guy. He joins us on the show. And we'll have him on regularly talking Mets because we just love talking to him. All right, 800-919-3776 because we love talking to you and what the expectations are for your Mets. If you are getting ready for opening day and you want to talk about what this team can be, what you're excited about, what you're hopeful for, all the things that you heard Steve Gelb say, how do you feel about the Mets going into this season? How do you feel about the Yankees getting that first win and what Juan Soto showed you in his very first game as the Yankees?
Good in the Mets uniform next year.
It is baseball season, and we've got lots to get to on other things, including football and, of course, basketball as well, and some hockey. Stay with us, Barton Hot, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, they got a heck of a win on opening day with Juan Soto in the center of everything. But the Yankees have a long season ahead of them. And yesterday in the K-Show, Don said Yankee fans cannot expect a championship.
Well, the expectations are always the same, playoffs, but I don't know if you can honestly say championship or bust when you consider what they're up against in their division. You know, we talked about teams the Yankees hate besides the Red Sox. Well, it's the Astros, but they've got no love for the Rays. They got no love for the Blue Jays. I have a feeling they're going to renew their rivalry with the Orioles, so it's a very difficult division. You've got no Cole for the first 2 months. He's only the best pitcher in baseball. You know, DJ LeMahieu, is this going to be another one of those years, Peter, where you can't can't count on him, and it does feel like maybe he's on the back nine. So yeah, playoffs, I think there's a certain expectation, but can a Yankee fan, I think, realistically believe in their heart that it's championship or bust when you're facing this kind of adversity right out of the box?
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart, guy, man. We got to say goodbye to another beloved character.
This was our Top Gun, actor. Son. This was our son. This was our Top Gun, B.
Iron Eagle, man. So Louis Gossett Jr., a proud New Yorker, born in Coney Island, went to Lincoln High, which, by the way, Lincoln High has like some serious legends that have come out of that high school. But he's one of them.
Star Roots.
And he was in so many. He was on the Broadway with Sidney Poitier in A Raisin in the Sun. He goes all the way back to that.
I mean, he goes all the way back to the 60s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Dickstown is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Great movie. He was in, obviously, Iron Eagle, which is we've referenced that before. I forgot there was like four Iron Eagles. Like,
didn't
he pass?
It ain't R no more.
Didn't Chappie die in the first one?
Hey, bro, it ain't R no more, man. It's brass. Come on, man.
But the news came out that we did lose him.
At 87 years old, I think that's just a round of applause. That's a life well lived.
Yeah.
He had a charity that he started that tried to combat racism, and that was one of his initiatives. He took a break from acting a while, and he had his struggles, substance abuse and things of that sort. But you talk about the impactfulness of just representation, of seeing him on the screen and always playing roles of pride, dignity. Yeah. Even if you go back to Roots, right? He was a dignified person, and he always played his roles well, and he did them his way. So, that's a life well lived and should be celebrated. And he's an American icon, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're mentioning some other movies, but obviously the biggest one of his life, Officer and a Gentleman, with Richard Gere, where he won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Just quit.
And a Golden Globe Award as well, for it as well. Like, it's just, that obviously is a classic, but there were so many other things that he was part of. And like you mentioned the dignity, and I agree with that. But, we're big on the start of our show is all motivational speeches, right? It's Rocky.
Yeah.
But there's something about a character that can deliver lines. You know, Denzel Washington does it as well. When you have to, like, really hit certain words, certain lines where it becomes
the emotional
impactful.
Cores. The
Sylvester
emotional
Stallone,
cores.
So, yes, emotional
Those speeches.
Cores. And Louis Gossett Jr. might have been one of the best actors at delivering that either motivation or the, you know, whether it's the clapback.
Yeah.
There was just something about his delivery and his tone that it caught your attention when he was in that moment where he had to deliver some type of a quick line or, you know, just
those classic moment, speeches, yeah.
A moment that you just took in every word and you almost felt like you were jumping out of your seat, like, I'm ready to go through a wall for this guy.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, there's that
fight, Richard Gere.
There's that too.
The classic
right.
fight when they fought in that ring, man.
What a moment! But still, so you know, just a memory of again, we do this a lot because unfortunately, over the years, you know, when you lose somebody that has had an impact on your life in pop culture, you remember them fondly, and we certainly do remember the life of Louis Gossett Jr. 800-919-3776. I thought Gelbs was quite optimistic about the Mets this year. Didn't you kind of feel that?
Yeah, absolutely.
He thinks they will contend for at the worst a wild card spot. He thinks that they have the ability to be a playoff team, and he's kind of excited about what they've built defensively. You know, they don't have like the Mets always were about pitching, right? Always,
right.
And getting Diaz back is huge because it does help the back end, but. Up front, it's, you know, I mean, they got Severino there now. McGill is back. Manea they brought in. I don't know what the Mets are going to be because starting pitching, as we know last year,
right.
was supposed to be the story. Scherzer, yeah. Verlander, like that mm-hmm. was supposed to be, you know, your 1-2 aces and really lead the way. And the history of the Mets is always built on their pitching. Not sure it's going to be that this year.
Right.
But – The defense could help the pitching, and then
right.
obviously
in a big ballpark. Yes, that's what he's saying. Lindor is a tremendous shortstop, so they had some pieces in place, and they went out and acquired some more pieces. So maybe we see a change in philosophy. Hey, we're going to be we're going to be a team that have pitchers that get soft contact, and we're going to play tremendous defense behind them, and we got guys that can hit out our parks because they hit dingers.
I do think also when he talked about J.D. Martinez addition and when he gets here and you see him in a lineup, what he'll do for Pete Alonso, and it'll create a very interesting thing. You brought in a player that's going to help Pete Alonso, and if it works the way you think it could work, where another power bat there so you can't pitch around Alonso, does that lead to Alonso having a big year? And if it does,
29 years old.
You got to pay him.
Tell me this, 29 years old, you can't get both. Do you go for Soto? Right, you know what I'm saying? Or do you stay with a guy who could have a career year? And saying he's homegrown, he's outlived expectations. Like, what's the flirtation?
I mean, if it was on the table, if it was on the table, and you had to decide between the two rather than getting both, again, Cohen technically could afford both, right?
Yeah, he can
technically,
afford it. Yeah,
he could, he could, right? Technically, but it doesn't mean that that's what they're going to do. But if you had to choose, let's go with. Both
Native
of them
son.
Have career average years. Career average, right? Let's do that. Let's just say they both. Soto for the Yankees, career average year, could be in the MVP conversation. Alonso for the Mets, career average year.
50-plus home
runs. A big part of their offense, right? So if they both just play to their averages and you had to choose between one, do you go with – and Mets fans love Pete Alonso, homegrown guy, love his personality, all that stuff – do you go with him, who's older, or do you go with the younger guy who's got that, you know, charisma and that star quality, and he's also playing the outfield necessarily, not first base?
But you are assuming that, okay, Soto's price is going to be a little bit more. So if Pete's number is underneath his, that changes the difference, right?
Sure about that?
Yeah, I think Pete's going to
get
something underneath Judge.
I don't think Pete's
going to
cost the same, but it's going to be pretty close.
I think Pete's going to get something under Judge. Whatever Judge gets, you know, let's say 10% less than that.
Well, first baseman, too, is not going to get
Soto's going to get that Bryce Harper type money, man.
Yes.
He's going to get that Trout money.
You know why?
Right? And it's going to be a much longer term, too.
Yes, because if you give him a 10-year deal, it takes him to 35, not 40.
Well, I guess, you know, when I think about it, they're probably, you know, the Mets created this stuff. You know, they might defer his stuff to 2060.
Like Ohtani did?
No, who's the guy getting paid? Bobby
Benia. You mean as far as the buyout goes?
Yeah, that's
a totally different story. I thought you meant Ohtani.
No, I'm talking about
who was taking
the money.
Less to keep the to keep. I don't know why he's doing what he's doing, but still. But yeah, so the optimism again always begins on the first day, an opening day at Citi Field today, the Mets and the Brewers, and so we'll see how things go with them.
Remember the Simpsons did something like it was like opening day, grand opening, grand close by the first game. Like, we done.
Well, the one thing as a Mets fan you have learned is that opening day is your best day because the Mets always win on opening day. Like their record on opening day is the best in any team. They will always give you a great first day. It's after that, you know, that's the part you can't control.
It's like, ah.
But it is not. You have it?
It's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Like, whenever the Simpsons get involved in it, man, that's a scarlet
but the
letter.
Funny
you
thing
can't
is
just
that
shake,
the Mets
man.
Always win on opening day. It's like, I don't know what the forget the record, but I know that that's a fact that the Mets actually have like the most success on opening day, but it is such a New York thing, isn't it?
Opening day.
It's exciting. And the season's over. We suck. 800-919-3776. We'll get to your calls. What's happening as the season begins in baseball, the season now heading to the end in basketball, and the Knicks play again tonight against the Spurs. Little Wembanyama tonight, Bart Scott. And something
what
happened
you got,
last
Mitchell
night.
Robinson? What you got?
Something happened last night that just makes you say to yourself that there's opportunity for this team that I think a month ago you would have never expected. So I'll let you know what that is. We'll get into what the possibilities are for them and the latest, of course, of what we know about how healthy they can get. But an interesting game tonight.
41-13 is what you were looking for. Opening day record.
41-13. Is that the highest winning percentage in baseball history?
Yes, it is. No other team in baseball has a better opening day record than this. Did you say 41-13?
Wow.
That's insane. See, the first day is always a good day.
Let's go.
Year they won the World Series, 1986. Didn't they lose opening day, though, that day?
We need to put some bets in, Alan. Forget what you're talking about. We need to go ahead and play some bets. Bet it all on the Mets to win today.
Just send it to the interpreter. He'll take care of it for us. 800-919-3776. Your calls and more coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. But first, I do need to tell you about something. Grand slams, no hitters, double plays, they're all back. And there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can start the MLB season with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 you can use to bet on money lines, totals, strikeouts, homers, you name it. Or combine your bets in a same game parlay for a chance at an even bigger payout. All on the app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. 21 and older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So, Bart, so as the Mets season begins, you want to hear from...
Forget the big three. It's the big
Steve
meat.
Cohen, as he gets ready for this season.
Let's hear him. He's like the Steve Ballmer of baseball. Let's listen to him.
All right, well, let's see what he... On this year's version of the Mets, what are we feeling? How are we feeling about this now?
I mean, we knew there were some constraints given contracts that we're paying for that are... obviously run off at the end of next year. And so there were some money constraints, right? I mean, at some point, everyone's got a budget. But generally, I'm really pleased at what we've created. The depth on this team, we've talked about the defense going to be so much better. And so you can imagine there'll be a lot of games that we're going to be in it. Our bullpen's deeper. And I think to play over 162 games, you need that. And so I think it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so I think we built a club that's going to be there in September.
I don't ever want to hear a man with that much money talk about a damn budget. Shut up! Don't you ever use some damn words?
The same exact thing.
I want to hear that.
It's amazing to hear a man of that wealth say everybody has a budget. It's funny because when he first came in, it sounded like I have no limits.
No expense spared.
Right. But that's all right. You know why? Because I think that's the David Stearns effect. And I think David Stearns came in and kind of suggested to him, let's dial it back. Let's not become the evil empire. Let's be the franchise that everybody wants to emulate, because not only do we do it with our money, but we do it with our brain. Like, you want to be the franchise that is really smart with what you do. So that this, what did I say about the Yankees? The Yankees spend a ton of money. They don't spend it well.
I want to be the dude with no strategy to just come in and punch somebody in the face. Like, what's the strategy? Oh, we watched on film. We go with the left. What's the strategy? Punch him in the face.
No, I don't think that's the way to do it. I think the way to do it is to feel like
the Yankees for 1 second. Be the evil empire. I want to be like the Dodgers. I want to spend $700 million.
No. No, the Mets should be the Harvard of baseball. Smart and rich. Do it smart and do it with your money.
Who's that? The Orioles? So they want to be like the Orioles then, right? No. They want to build with a farm system and all that stuff?
No. See, again, no. You're missing my point. It's not doing it cheap. It's spending money wisely, which, like I said, the Yankees have had a lot of trouble doing. Everybody wants to call Steinbrenner cheap. Oh, he's afraid. He doesn't want to spend more. He's being cheap. No, that's not it. He gave them the third highest payroll in the sport, and they spent it poorly. And they're stuck with some things that they've got to wait out or find their way out of, but they're not doing it smart. David Stearns comes in. This guy's a smart guy, by the way. You got to know his background now, Bart. This is a guy that has worked pretty much his professional life for this job in this moment, and he's ready for it. And I'm telling you, when you have a brain and somebody with money, the guy with money lets the guy with the brain make all the decisions. And hopefully Steve Cohen is at that place right now. Steve Cohen's a fan. He's admitted that. And he spent like a fan his first couple of years as the owner. Now he's like, just tell me what to spend and I'll spend it. And I'll tell you what, look at some of the best franchises out there. That's the balance you need. I need an owner not afraid to spend. And I need baseball operations, football operations, whoever it is. I need that guy to say we don't have to spend all of it, or let's make sure we spend it wisely.
Did you hear what Mendoza said the other day?
Mendoza? Said,
yeah.
What did he say?
Her. I mean.
Wait, which Mendoza are we talking? Oh, Jessica Mendoza.
Yeah, Jessica.
Oh, what did Jessica say?
She said the Tigers are going to win the Central.
I think a lot of people think that. Yeah, I think a lot of people think the Tigers are going to be good this year.
Now, if the Tigers are good, as bad as they stunk, is Cabrera still there at 85 years old?
Shouldn't you know as a diehard Detroit fan?
I stopped watching when Lou Whitaker left. But anyway.
That was before he got there.
Well, when they had Prince. When they had Prince.
Prince.
Cecil Fielder Jr. Cecil Fielder Jr., yeah. Prince.
Yeah. Okay.
And he barred him from coming to the games because he said he was a bad dad.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, Steve Cohen talking about what fans have been saying to him before this opening day.
You know, they're still pretty supportive. I mean, I'm waiting for that to run out. But, I mean, we got to win at some point. But, and listen, I think the goal is to make the playoffs and be there year in and year out. And I think we're going to, over time, accomplish that. You know, I think what we're building here is something that's sustainable. Between, you know, I talked about our farm system being a lot better, and you need a combination of veterans and young players to make the roster work. You can't just do it all free agency. The numbers don't work. And so I'm encouraged by what we're developing. I'm encouraged by how we're making our players better in the farm system and up here too. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on organizational-wise that is, I think, the type of stuff that creates an elite team.
And if you want a blueprint, as much as it'll make you throw up in your mouth, but it's a reality, a blueprint would be the late 90s Yankees dynasty. You have the core of players that you developed in your system, that you built through your farm system, that all came up, and they became the core of the team. Then you spend to fill the blanks with high-end free agents, right? That's how
that's tough.
You don't make the free agent the centerpiece. You make the core pieces the centerpiece, and then you fill in the blanks when you can with the best possible pieces that you can get, and that's how you have a winning formula. I think that's what he's trying to do. I think David Stern sees that, and I think that's why you have the money guy and you have the smart guy, and the money guy listens to the smart guy. That's how this has to work, and if the Mets get it right, that's the formula. That's how it's going to work.
Well, that sounds great, but we just saw this. In their core was all pitchers. You know what I mean? It was all pitchers when we had, you know, Wheeler and those guys.
They went to the World Series, Bart.
No, I got that. But then it wasn't sustained. But what I'm saying is it wasn't sustained, and they picked the wrong people.
Well, it wasn't sustained because got hurt. The pitchers got hurt.
That's what I'm saying. So who's the core now? Are we talking about
Francisco Alvarez? Yeah, that's
Lindor,
a big
Lindor,
part of the core.
Lindor is like in the middle of his career, right? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
But
like,
he wasn't a homegrown guy, but I think Lindor has been around. Like, you know, I mean,
so is
know,
it Pete? Is it
is
Pete
Alonso?
Alonso?
Yeah.
I mean, Marte's
right?
Old as hell. You know what I'm saying?
Marte's he's not an original piece, though. Like, Nimmo is
I'm saying, but at this point, you know, you're talking about Edwin Diaz, right? You hope that he's going to stay around for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's also this is the very beginning of it now. Like, this isn't like they have everything in place.
So they're starting all over.
Why do you think they wanted to rebuild the farm system so that in 2 years, and Alvarez is taken over as the face of the franchise, you have other young pieces coming up as well. Yeah. You heard Gelbs. He thinks this guy has captain leadership star potential, and that's what you build with if they're smart. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get to some calls. We'll get into some hoops as well. The Knicks play the last of the four games against teams with a losing record tonight. Wembanyama and the Spurs.
Is your bracket burst yet?
Well, the UNC? Yeah, I'm done. That's the one.
Let's get your boy on us. See what happens when you don't come on with us?
Yeah, I don't think Hubert Davis wants to talk to anybody after that performance. Some bad possessions. All right, more to get to in hour number two. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. A win last night against the Avalanche. Now 102 points on the season. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave were talking Rangers and the possibility of winning the Cup this year.
Do you think the Rangers have a real chance to win the Stanley Cup?
In all honesty, I think it's gonna really depend on what Artemi Panarin looks like in the postseason.
Right.
5-on-5 scoring this year in the NHL. That line currently is tied for first. 5-on-5 goals by forward lines this season. They are tied for first. Trocheck, Panarin, and Lafreniere, which is great. But everyone after them has struggled 5-on-5, which is a problem. So if I'm on another team, you know exactly what I'm gonna go into this game and do. I'm gonna be hard as hell on Artemi Panarin, make him get to the dirty areas of the ice and see if he's willing to do it.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.